Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Tuesday, August the 24th. It's 106. That's the heat index, 106, which I calculated. It's 41 centigrade. I wanted to say it in centigrades because, or Celsius, whatever they call it, because I know a lot of the friends who are listening are not familiar with the way we do the weather here in the United States. We use Fahrenheit, and I know in most countries it's Celsius. So it's 41 Celsius. That's the heat index. The temperature is like 99. So it is a very, very hot afternoon here in North Texas, and that's why, you know, we are doing our best to stay inside as much as we possibly can. Well, the big topic, of course, is Afghanistan. It continues to be. It's going to be that for, I think, for quite some time. And in the case of Afghanistan, there's a deadline coming up on the 31st, and President Biden spoke this afternoon and said, well, we're on target to get everybody out by the 31st, but if we have to, you know, we'll stay a little bit longer. The problem is that all of this looks so bad. I mean, here is the United States basically being told by the Taliban that they need to get out by the 31st. And, you know, instead of us telling the Taliban, we'll get out when our people are out, and if you don't cooperate, you're the one who's got a problem. Instead of taking that posture, in other words, negotiating from a position of strength, we look exactly the opposite. First of all, we sent somebody over to Kabul. I think somebody from the CIA went over to Kabul and met with the head of the Taliban. And I guess they were talking about the agreement. And I guess they worked out some kind of a deal regarding August 31st. But the bottom line is one of the big mistakes that President Biden has made throughout this whole Afghanistan crisis is the idea of setting deadlines and saying initially, well, we're going to have all our troops by the 11th of September, then we're going to have all of our troops out by the end of August. Well, you don't do that, because when you issue deadlines, your enemy then gets to plan, and your enemy then gets to set the table, and we shouldn't be doing that. We shouldn't be doing that, and that's unfortunately the big mistake here. So now we've got a deadline of August 31st. The president went through all kinds of information today about the number of planes taking out and the number of people being taken out. Look, I have no way of denying what he said. I don't really know whether it's right or wrong. Let's assume that it's correct. The big problem that I see for all of this is that for people who are in Afghanistan, Americans who are in Afghanistan, or some of the collaborators, and we had many of them, and these people were essential, by the way, for our success, for us to be able to accomplish some of the things that we did there on the military battleground. We needed collaborators, and I'm concerned about these people. I'm concerned what's going to happen to them when we, you know, when the last plane leaves. If these people stay behind, well, they're not going to be treated very well, and I'm concerned about that. I mean, the reputation of the United States is at stake here. If you ever have to do a mission like this, where you're going to have to depend a great deal on people helping you. And for us to be sitting there potentially leaving people behind, that is not the kind of message you want to send out. Look, as everybody knows, from day one, I said that I was in favor of keeping about 2,500 troops in Afghanistan in a military base, not engaged in military conflict, simply in a military base, in a support capacity, basically because I think it's essential for us to have a military presence in a neighborhood like Afghanistan. We got to be there, not necessarily fighting. We really have not been fighting for years, but just being there, having a presence there, especially that air base, that Air Force base that was so important to getting planes in and out of that country. All of that is gone now. And we'll be leaving, and we are going to be literally leaving everything. And what happens after that? Well, I don't know. Nobody really knows. But I do think that Afghanistan is going to become, again, a playground for terrorism. And, you know, these groups are going to be using Afghanistan once again to plan attacks, to develop attacks, and to be a threat to the West. So here on the 20th anniversary of 9/11 coming up in a couple of weeks, the celebration is going to be in Afghanistan. The celebration is going to be at the embassy, at the former embassy of the United States in Afghanistan. They're going to put their flag on the embassy and say, we defeated the United States, when in fact they never did. They never won any battles, and they didn't drive out the United States militarily. We chose to get out this way, and that's the shame of what President Biden did. So let's hope for the best. Let's hope that we can get everybody out by the 31st. But I wouldn't bet on it. I wouldn't bet on it because there's a lot of people in there. We don't even know how many people there are in Afghanistan. I mean, that's the amazing thing about all this. We don't even know how many people are in there. Well, we're going to take a little break, and we'll be right back. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas. You know, one more thing about the speech today. The president did not take any questions. This is becoming a pattern where he speaks and doesn't take any questions. And, of course, a lot of these media people are all beside themselves. Oh, my gosh, you know, he doesn't take any questions. Well, he doesn't take any questions because during the campaign, the same people in the media today who are complaining about the fact that he doesn't take questions, well, they're the same people. The very same people who allowed him not to answer any questions during the campaign. I mean, during the campaign, Joe Biden was basically allowed to hide in the basement of his house without having to answer any questions. So, I mean, it's very difficult for the media to all of a sudden get angry because he doesn't answer questions when during the campaign they wouldn't ask him any questions. Now, I think a lot of the media people are starting to turn on President Biden, and a lot of it, I think, is because they're trying to get some of their credibility back, because I do think the media lost a lot of credibility for the way they behaved in the last campaign. I also think CNN and some of these other networks, they're trying to get their ratings back. I mean, look at the ratings of CNN. They've dropped like 70% this year, and MSNBC is dropping as well. So I think in some cases they're trying to get their ratings back. But they're also turning on Biden. But look, this is what happens when you let a candidate run for president without answering any question. Well, why should he answer questions? You spoiled him by not asking him any questions during the campaign. I mean, that's what we're seeing here. Well, one of the big local stories here in Texas is that the Democrats are back. They're back in the legislature. As you may remember, they ran away so that they wouldn't have to vote. So the session that was supposed to be conducted back in July never got conducted, a legislative session. So now they're back. Hopefully we will get all of this done and we can put the session, you know, to terminate the session and get back to the other business of the state. I really believe that the Democrats made a big mistake doing what they did. That is, refusing to vote on a bill that they didn't support and then moving out of the state, you know, going to Washington for 6 weeks or whatever. And I think the whole thing has backfired, because they didn't get any votes out of this. They didn't get any support in Washington, and they really didn't make any improvement down here. In other words, they're basically in the same position that they were before they left. And I also don't think that they impressed a lot of the independents, the people who are not that politically ideological, people who are basically more in the middle. I don't think they impressed a lot of people like that with what they did running away from the legislature. So they're back. We wish them well. Welcome back to Texas. And hopefully you'll get the job done so that we can move on to other issues. Of course, the big, big one coming up, this one is going to be huge, is redistricting. That's going to come up probably in the next 6 months. And that's going to be a very controversial issue. And you'll see it back and forth. And it's going to get pretty heavy regarding redistricting. So we'll see how that goes. But I'm glad. I'm glad that they're back. They're back in Texas. Well, I have a post over at the American Thinker today arguing that President Biden really doesn't qualify for the 25th Amendment. For those of you who may not be familiar with what we call the 25th Amendment, it's an amendment to the U.S. Constitution that sort of shows you the way of replacing a president who may be incapacitated for one reason or another. Let's say he suffers a fatal stroke or a massive stroke or whatever, and he's not able to return to work, then the 25th Amendment would be activated. And after, you know, a medical check and all that kind of stuff, then the presidency would pass on a permanent basis to the vice president, in this case, of course, Vice President Harris. And that's in the Constitution. It's a procedural thing. It's a good idea because you want to have a constitutional method or way of passing the presidency to somebody in the event that the president is incapacitated. That's not really the problem with Joe Biden. Obviously, he doesn't look as sharp now as he did when he was younger. I mean, that's obvious. Anybody watching him can tell that, you know, this is not the same man we used to know 10, 20 years ago who was a lot, you know, quicker on his feet. This is a man who's clearly demonstrating that he is 78 years old, and you can see the burden of the presidency is really starting to show on him. One of the reasons that I did not want him to run for president is because I think 78 years old, you're basically too old to be president. I mean, it's a very demanding job, and I think a younger man would definitely be in a better position. But we got what we got, and we got Joe Biden. And, you know, a lot of people think he's a little senile. Well, he may be. He may be. I'm not a psychiatrist. I'm not going to tell you whether he is or whether he's not. But he clearly doesn't look comfortable. Makes a lot of mistakes when he reads. He just doesn't look comfortable at all. He looks like a man who would rather be doing something else. And that's why a lot of people think that he should resign because he's not up to the job. I don't think the 25th Amendment applies here. I really don't. I think the only thing that applies here is that eventually the cost, the political cost of the Biden presidency will obviously punish the Democrats. That's really all you can do at this point is rely on the voters, because this is really up to them, not to the 25th Amendment. So I've got that post over at the American Thinker. Check it out. It was on Tuesday morning. Well, Vice President Harris is traveling in Asia, and apparently there were some health issues, not with the vice president, but where she was going, and they had to delay the flight and all of that. So it's kind of an unfolding story. We'll probably know more about it. We'll know more about it tomorrow, and maybe can talk about it. I don't think it's any health issue with the vice president, but apparently it has something to do with whatever city she was going to. So we'll keep an eye on that. We say happy number 90 to Barbara Eden. If you don't know her name, she is the beautiful woman who played I Dream of Jeannie. Remember that program, I Dream of Jeannie on TV? Well, she was the beautiful Jeannie, Barbara Eden. She's 90 years old. My goodness. That show was about 50. Yeah, that would have been mid-60s. So that's over 50 years ago. And I think she was in her 30s when she did that show. But what a beautiful woman she was. And if you look at some of her pictures now, she's, you know, staying in very good condition. So we say happy 90 to Barbara Eden. We lost a couple of great rock and rollers this week. Don Everly of the Everly Brothers passed away. That means that both of the Everlys are now gone. They had a fantastic sound. I loved their vocal arrangements. They were just a beautiful, it was so beautiful to listen to the two brothers sing. It was magical when they sang together. And we lost a big one today. We just heard the news that Charlie Watts, the drummer of the Rolling Stones, passed away. Charlie was 80 years old, 80 years old, and he passed away. I also learned today that he'd been married to the same lady for 57 years. So that's, I guess he got a lot of satisfaction out of that marriage. But Charlie Watts, my favorite rock and roll drummer. I just loved him. He was just so fantastic. I love the sound of the Stones and his drums. So rest in peace, Charlie, and rest in peace, Don Everly. Thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas. And let me say hello to my friend Scott, who's listening, I believe, in Australia. Talk to you later. Have a wonderful day.